take our Bibles. Just turn together to the Word of God. Together, we get to look to our Bibles alone when we meet God in the morning, and we get to come to church and look at our Bibles together. Matthew 26, I'm going to start in verse 6. We're going to read Matthew 26, verses 6 through 10. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper,
there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had
indignation, saying, "To what purpose this waste?
Much and given to the poor." When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me."
God, we thank you that we have these accounts of the life of Jesus Christ and his disciples, and we pray, God, that by your Holy Spirit it would be alive and relevant to us today as we seek to walk with you the very best we can for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You ever been undignified? That's the word that got my attention in this passage here. It says in verse 8 that when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste?" You know, there's a place for being undignified. I don't know how you pronounce her name, Michal or Michal, David's wife, was a little bit perturbed,
right?
Because he wasn't dignified,
right,
when he came in front of the ark that day with no clothes on, dancing and prancing around like a madman. But she was the one that was out of order, wasn't she? Because she failed to appreciate the importance, the worth, and the value of what was happening, and how it was something that was worth getting undignified about. In fact, isn't that what David said to him? Said to her, said, "Honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you thought that was undignified, just hang around for a while while I praise the Lord and give him all the glory, honor, and praise." I mean, we'll do it at ball games, won't we?
Yes.
You know? They'll do it down there in the cult stadium. They know nobody gets accused of being in a cult. Now, isn't that the strangest thing? Nobody has ever been accused of being in a cult that has a bunch of rules about what you got to wear and when to clap and when to cheer and when to shout and have various financial constraints and expectations, but never ever accused that of being a cult. So there's a place for being undignified. I want to get undignified sometimes. When I go down there to the rescue mission to preach to those men, I say, "Oh God, please let me preach like a dying man to dying men." Would that be dignified, do you think? Well, if you pled with someone for their soul, have you ever felt like you just really wanted to plead with someone, maybe a loved one, a relative you've been praying for years, just wishing that you could honestly plead with them with all your might, like a salesman?
Yeah.
Oh, he'll go for the clothes, you know,
yeah,
to make that sale. He'll go a first and a second, a third attempt and ask and ask and ask. And isn't the kingdom of God worth that? Worth a little bit of a lack of dignity in the world's eyes in an appropriate way. God help me to be undignified. But here we saw that the disciples, they had indignation. They lacked a little bit of dignity in a bad way, in this instance, And no doubt, if you hung around with me for very long, you may see things that were having some people in my life that in a certain phase of life that I just find it's the greatest interpersonal challenge I've ever faced in my life. And that's someone that was in direct sales and dealing with people and reversing cancellations and doing all the kind of stuff that most people are scared of. But maybe you feel like that too, that some, once in a while. And some of us are a little bit more reserved, some of us are a little bit more cool on the outside. But I tell you, I think every single one of us has got a hot button. But if it gets pressed, there may be something coming out in the tone of voice. However it's expressed, an onlooker would notice and say, oh, there's a little bit of feeling there. There's a little bit of lack of dignity, perhaps, you know. But it happened to the disciples on this occasion. What does it mean to be dignified? How about 1 Corinthians 13? I don't think love was ever undignified. That could be in that list, couldn't it? Love is not undignified. Because to lay down your life for someone else and take no thought for your own regard, it says love seeketh not her own. I don't see where there's any scope for a lack of dignity in any behavior or response that comes out of love. I don't see where peace was ever undignified. You know, when we lack dignity, maybe we're not at rest. Maybe we're getting vexed and flustered, you know? And that just little bit of lack of dignity comes out of us in our behavior. You know, some people, they go off and back in the Church of Scotland, you know, I was the youngest person by about 25 or 50 years, so I kind of... There was this one older lady, retired lady. She had been through private school, and her parents were wealthy people. And she had also gone to finishing school. That's what you go to after you graduate 12th grade, and you go to school just to learn manners, just to learn how to put on a good tea party, okay, with silver teapots and a whole bunch of nice stuff. But it doesn't matter how much we try to imposed dignity upon herself by exterior means or teachings, it's got to come from somewhere deep within, doesn't it? The true dignity. James says that if anybody's able to control his tongue, he is a perfect man.
Wow, yes.
And so much of when somebody catches us acting in an undignified way, it's got something to do with mostly what's coming out of here, doesn't it? Out from the heart comes the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Impatience, selfishness, really. I mean, selfishness is the opposite of love, isn't it? And the kind of lack of dignity that comes when you're just ruining my day. Can't you just get with the program? I can't even believe that I'm having to deal with this. I can't even believe I'm having to correct this. I'd rather not be messing with it. Thanks very much. That might not be what we say in those exact words, but it comes out in the tone, doesn't it?
Yes.
It comes out and it's in us. That attitude's in us because we're selfish. Right. Because we have a regard for how long something's taken us or the amount of hassle that it's causing us.
Yes.
It's the opposite of love. Is the opposite of where the Spirit of God is, because the Word of God says that God is love. That's even better than being loving. It says He is love. So somehow we're just looking to Jesus. Oh God, please help us to see, to find the true walk of the Spirit, that you, Jesus, would be so exalted and so magnified in our estimation, that we would cling and seek after you every moment, that everything else would become of lesser importance than finding, knowing, and resting in you in every moment. But the disciples, they had indignation. It just reports factually the words that they said, you know, to what purpose is this waste? But it causes you, of course, to wonder in what, you know, how were they saying it, or what was their body language and their facial expression? You know, the immediately before, one of the, apparently the spokesman of all the disciples said what was on all their hearts, to what purpose is this waste? And that's an interesting statement of itself as well. To what purpose is this waste? You know, so much of what can quench our dignity over certain situations or things we find out about, it all just boils down to a bunch of ideas about what's valuable or what we decided needs to happen when or at what pace, or because someone's ruining my day because I don't need to be messing with this, says who? Who said that wasn't the whole purpose of your day, to be messing with that?
Right. Help us, Lord.
And we so need the mind of Christ. Every single waking moment of our lives, we need the mind of Christ to walk not by sight, but by faith, to see everything as significant. Oh yes, Jesus, this is happening to me for a reason. This is my living devotional thought for this afternoon. If this is the only thing that I walk through with a perfect heart, let it be. Let it be my assignment for today, Jesus. I accept it. I rejoice in it.
Amen.
That's our attitude when it comes out right, isn't it? But so many times, it's not quite that way. To what purpose is this waste?
Wow.
Isn't that funny that we got to see, if we can't see purpose in something,
right.
You know, I mean, I know that certainly as I meet people and share the gospel and pray with people, this is it's an age-old human thing, the why thing. I mean, it's in Job for 40 chapters, isn't it?
Yes.
And we can look at that in a simplistic way and think that we're above that, you know, as those that are endeavoring to walk in the Spirit, walk the mature Christian life. And maybe by God's grace, we have a revelation of eternity that better equips us to handle some of the big whys in life, you know. But sometimes we trip over the little whys.
Yes, we do.
Like this woman's $40,000 that she just poured all over Jesus' head and feet. $40,000? That could have helped the building fund a lot, fellow disciple. $40,000? That could have printed quite a lot of CTOs. Fellow KCF member. You know, let's get this down to earth. I mean, it's disciples. They're disciples together, just like we're disciples together.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the more localized whys. We got to have a reason. There's got to be a reason and purpose for this. And if I can't find it, and it doesn't measure up for what my judgment says a valid purpose is, then that just doesn't make sense. But we just so need the mind of Christ, don't we? So that we don't become indignant with one another or lack dignity, or the love and the spirit of love in us is quenched because of our minds. We were in that, weren't we? In the parable of the sower, the mind. There was an understanding issue in the first category there on Sunday. But I just, you know, I'm a human being just like you. I struggle over these things at times. I've just been so blessed that for the times I've been able to get on my knees and something in the spirit just trumped it, superseded it. Either the Lord showed me why it had to happen in a way that I'd never thought, or He didn't show me why it had to happen, but it didn't really matter anymore because Jesus is Lord. And I know there's been times as well when, on a logical basis, I've known I've got to have the mind of Christ. I know there's a greater purpose in this, even though I can't see it. Oh, Jesus, help me. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, I'm glad this is happening. But somehow I just wasn't able to break through it. Have you ever found that? You know logically the path you're supposed to take, the path of the mature Christian walk. Okay, I'm struggling with an issue now, I'm struggling with purposes, I'm struggling with an idea. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. But somehow I just wasn't able to break through at all for a couple of days. I don't understand all that yet either. But I'm still trusting him to teach me.
Amen.
To what purpose is this waste? It's amazing. We need the mind of Christ so much. We got valuation issues, don't we?
Right.
But what's valuable, what isn't valuable, what constitutes waste, what was really worth the money? When Jesus can speak money into existence, he can put $803 on the floor around your pew if he felt like it. Anybody here frugal at all? This is a harder one for frugal people. You know? Why this waste? So there, bless God, there's a walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
It says, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. I mean, they were on biblical grounds. They're like, look, Jesus, we're being good disciples. This is what you taught us, wasn't it? You said, sell what you have and give alms and give to the poor. So isn't that what should have been done with this? Oh, boy. He takes the Spirit of God, even help us to know how to have the right response over the very things that Jesus taught us to do. They were trying to exercise the thing that Jesus taught them to do, but they were in the wrong spirit about it all. It's amazing. There's only one safe place, and that's clinging to Jesus with all of our might. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? Now, that's a good question, isn't it?
Yes.
What's in your heart that you are creating unnecessary trouble for another human being? And for yourself, for that matter. Why are you creating trouble for this woman? And how about yourself, disciples? Are you happy right now? Are you like a little child right now? Are you rejoicing and having a hallelujah time? I don't think, usually when I get undignified, it's unless, as we said at the start, it's for right reasons. It's not that liberating, joyful experience, is it?
True.
It's not righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Why trouble you, this woman? Why trouble yourself? Why? Because again, for whatever reason, through these challenges, they weren't able to walk in the Spirit and the mind of Christ. And it's interesting that some of the little things we face in a day that we beat ourselves up about because we know we failed, they're literal PhDs in the Spirit. They're the highest tests you could possibly face at this point in your walk with God. Sometimes the tiniest little things. No, you didn't wreck your car today. You know? Didn't face the death of a loved one. Some of the more classic things that we think of, really tough times and heartbreaking situations. No. You had to call your insurance company. And you didn't realize it, but it was going to be the highest of highest tests in the Spirit for you today to guard your heart, to keep your heart, to cling, to seek for the mind of Christ so that you wouldn't bring trouble on another human being or yourself. unnecessarily. It says she hath wrought a good work upon me, and I don't have the harmony of the Gospels memorized well enough at this point in my biblical training, but there's another incident with a woman in hair and weeping and ointment, whether the same one or a different one. And what Jesus said to her and said to his disciples, this woman whose sins were many, they've been forgiven.
Yes, yes.
So God, we just pray that you'd help us to be indignant over the right things. Help us to be indignant over sin in ourselves. Help us to be indignant over sin in other people in an appropriate way. But help us not to trouble people, God, that are worshiping you, because our minds couldn't get around it. Because our false sense of valuation of what needs to be the purpose and what needs to constitute waste. We know, God, that this assignment in the human is utterly impossible.
Yeah.
But what is impossible with man is possible with the Spirit of God. And we thank you for that, God. And we pray, God, that tonight you would just renew our hope and our faith in you, that no matter how many times we have failed, you know the beginning from the end. And we can brush ourselves down and trust you to continue to teach us the lessons of the Spirit and of walking and abiding in you. For your honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen.